Behind the bench, on the floor, inside the locker room, and in the stands. We're everywhere with everything you need to know about the association. This is Hoops on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Thanks for clicking on this link and following up on Hoops podcast number 2, as we had a jam-packed media day with 13 total interviews with myself, Eric Smith, and my man Paul Jones. You heard from, in the first podcast, Patrick Patterson, DeMar DeRozan, James Johnson, Corey Joseph, Anthony Bennett, Terrence Ross, and DeMar A. Carroll. Coming up in this podcast, Kyle Lowry, Masai Ujiri, Luis Scola, Jonas Valanciunas, DeLon Wright, and Dwayne Casey. So another jam-packed podcast for you right now, and we will start it with the man who has slimmed down and seemed to be the one that made most of the news on Media Day for his trim new look, and that is Raptors starting point guard Kyle Lowry. How tired are you so far, Kyle, of talking about your body?
I'm tired of it. That's, and you guys are the last people I'm even talking to it about, so I'm tired of it. But, I mean, it's what I expected. I mean, when you change something, of course people are going to notice it. And I guess it's kind of the, I mean, I'm not looking for a pat on the back because I'm going to do it anyway. So, but, you know, it just shows the hard work that you put in.
No calls from Jenny Craig or Weight Watchers looking for a new spokesman or something?
I wish there was. Subway might be calling.
Actually, they probably use a new spokesman. We'll leave that one alone. We'll leave that one alone.
Oh, Kyle, last thing before we get off this, what was the impetus for the change for you? You said you were going to do it anyway. It's like, okay, this is the time. Let's do it.
Yeah, for me, it was just, you know, getting older. I think it was more of a effort for me to go out there and show. You know, I always talked about it, don't it? And I always thought about when was I at my best, and then when I was at my best was, you know, not at my best basketball, but at my best peak level was in college. And I felt like me being at that college weight was, you know, kind of one of the things where if I can get to that, I can literally run all day.
I don't want to get too philosophical here, but I've asked you about, and I know you've spoken quite openly, and whether it be Twitter or Instagram or otherwise too, talking about being a role model for your son and the importance of your son. I know I'm at home sometimes and might be chowing down on some bag of potato chips and then looking over and like, man, I wouldn't want my kid doing that. So how much of it too is eating healthy and being healthy and living healthy to set an example too?
I think it has to do a lot with it, because I got kids that are looking at their father, and I want to be healthy. I want them to be healthy. I want the whole lifestyle to be healthy.
All right. Put this aside then, move the body aside, the health aside, get to the on the court stuff. I've said this exact line 5-10 times now already. It seems like it's the line of the day, the question of the day, but how hard was it to get over, and are you over Washington and now looking ahead to moving forward to this year and hopefully writing a new chapter?
It wasn't hard to get over it. If you get your butt kicked like that, you're going to act like it didn't happen. But, you know, you take it as motivation. And for me, it wasn't just one series. It was more of the way I played personally from February on. So, for me, it wasn't just one series. So I guess it was easier for me to get over one series because I was more focused on a half a year.
What happens this year, Kyle? Like, I mean, you guys had such a great start to the season last year, and we just had Dwayne talking about, he kept telling guys, it's hard to keep this up. We got to be hungry. He said everybody, including himself, everybody felt a sense of entitlement like we'd arrived. And you know, after last year, the way it ended, that wasn't the case. What can you... What's in your mind this year to make it different all the way through?
Personally, I just think it's a new team, the new guys. So it's not just we arrived and we don't have that, because it's a bunch of new guys trying to get together. And we know it's not going to be easy. I mean, I think everyone knows that it's going to take some work for us to even be, you know, get to that point where we were the last couple of years. The last couple of years, teams are completely different than this team. So it doesn't even matter what we did 2 years ago. What we did a year ago, it's a completely different team.
Due respect to the guys that were here, the guys you have now, some of the comments over the course of the day have been, we feel like we might be the deepest we've been, when you got almost two guys at every position. Would you agree in terms of talent-wise on paper?
Yeah, man, we felt that way before, but now it's kind of like, yeah, sure, we got three guys at one position at the point. You got a couple guys that, yeah, but now we got to make sure health always plays a part of it. You got to be able to play together, and you got to find your groups. You know, you can be as deep as you can, but if guys don't play together well, then it might not work out as much. You know what I mean?
Kyle, what do you do as a leader? I mean, you, DeMar, obviously still the leaders of this team. What do you do to try and ensure that and help keep pushing it forward?
because we're hungry. We're never satisfied. You know, DeMar is 26 or whatever he is. I don't even know. But, you know, he's playing for something, and we're all playing for something. We're all playing for the bigger chip, and we want that gold trophy. And, I mean, the goal a couple years ago was just to make the playoffs, and now we got to find a way to get to the playoffs and get to the gold trophy, but not worried about the playoffs. Take it game by game.
We talk about chemistry. Does that get overplayed sometimes in terms of its importance on the floor, clearly, but a lot of times people think that it has to be off the floor. Like, you need to be buddies away from the floor as long as you just are getting it done on the floor.
I think if you get it done on the floor, it doesn't matter, to be honest. I think if you think about the feuding that Shaq and Kobe, you know, had, they still got it done. They got 3 rings. I mean, I think if at the end of the day, if you can play basketball and you get it, put it together on the court, you're good.
And does it help, though, again, not necessarily building friendship, but building chemistry on the floor, to go to away to a camp like this and then to be going right from camp onto the road to start the preseason, and you're away from home and whatever else, and you're just kind of on the road with the team?
I think it builds a little bit of, togetherness, but at the end of the day, we still got to go to camp, but we still got to work. You know, at the end of the day, it's not about, you know, this or being away. It's about working and making sure we start to put little things together and be on the same page.
Kyle, I'm looking at, to ask Patrick about this too, the All-Star logo on the new uniform. So what does it mean when you think about, I know you're a basketball guy, and you follow and you watch games and you're all over it. The All-Star game is going to be in Toronto next February. When you think about that, it raises eyebrows. Your thoughts on that?
It's going to be great. It's going to be a very clean, classy, amazing All-Star break. You know, this is going to be one of the times where, you know, you put on for your city.
Are you looking forward to being a part of that, though, potentially? Not just as a player, but...
I want to be the guy, the ambassador. I want to be the guy. I want to be that guy. Hey, this, we're in my city. Let's do everything.
It seems like there's a lot right now. The new uniform, the new logo, and the new practice facility that's coming, and all this stuff, and now the All-Star game, and all that. It's kind of all, you know, snowballing at once, in a sense.
Well, it's good, though. I mean, you got baseball's playing well. You got hockey coming back. You got basketball coming back. And starting off with the Jays. And now you got the Jays, then you got the Leafs, then you got us. So it's just a coming together. Then you got the All-Star. And you got everything coming together all at one time. You got Drake, one of the hottest things out there. It's just Canada's blown up.
So now it's on you then, not you individually, but you as the Raptors, to not let it slide then.
We'll be all right.
All right, last one for you. You brought up the Jays. I know you're a Philly guy at heart and everything else, but how much have you kept an eye on what they've been doing down the road here and the success that the Blue Jays have had over the last couple of months here rolling into the playoffs?
I watched the Yankee series, you know, because it was on ESPN. But I'm just supporting those guys because I know, you know, at the end of the day, you know, those guys are playing for Toronto. It's the reason they are here. They're playing for a city. I understand what they're going through. They made trades, and they're going for it. You know, when we did the same thing, you know, it's kind of like, all right, now they're putting it together now. Now, hopefully they can do something special with it and go win the pennant.
You heard in Lowry's interview him mention 3-point guards, himself, Corey Joseph, and this man right here that Jonesy and I had a chance to chat with, Toronto's 2015 first-round selection, DeLon Wright. DeLon, this is your first experience, at least at an NBA level, with Media Day and kind of the circus that it can be at times. But is today the first day where it kind of feels real, truly putting on the jersey and knowing that camp's opening up, or has this felt real from draft day back in late June? I mean, how's this kind of summer gone for you?
Yeah, so I did the rookie kind of Media Day, so that kind of took away from this feeling, I would say. But I think when we get on a plane and fly out together, that'll be like when it really feels official. And I know I'm officially an NBA player.
What are the nerves like right now? Is there any nerves or is it just all excitement? I mean, what's kind of going through you right now?
Yeah, I'm just excited right now. I wouldn't say it's really too much nerves. I'm just excited to be here and, you know, be a part of this team.
What are you most looking forward to, DeLon? When you think about the NBA, you've watched it a lot. I mean, you've been experiencing it with your brother. You've been around it. What are you most looking forward to this year as a rookie?
I would say just learning. I don't think I'll be expected to do much this year as far as like scoring and stuff like that. So I think they just want me to learn this year. And, if my time comes, then I'll be ready.
What are you looking forward to in terms of learning, as you talk about, from a Kyle Lowry or from a Corey Joseph, and just kind of soaking in whatever they can teach, let alone other guys on the roster?
Just how to work hard and how to be professional. I think I know what it takes, but you know, I don't know firsthand. So I would like to see, you know, how they do it and you know, my career at that NT.
This might not be fair to ask on day one when you haven't even had that road trip yet or anything, but is that one of the greatest adjustments you think is the life? Not just, I mean, the game is the game. It might be a little, you know, it's a higher level now, but the life, the travel, the hotel rooms, and just kind of being away from home and comforts and kind of, again, living that life of a professional player.
Yeah, I think the lifestyle will be the biggest adjustment. I think playing-wise, I've been on a road for, like, I would say, like, high school, we went on a road for, like, 2 weeks or something playing games. But I think just, you know, having to be a professional now, that'll be the toughest part. So I'll be gladly to get adjusted to it, though.
What have you learned in playing for Coach at Utah? Guy, an NBA guy that he's told you about when you get to the league, and you probably, there'll be more things along the way, but right now, man, he said this, and here it is. It's exactly as the way he said it.
You know, the guys are much stronger and bigger than you, so you have to, you know, find ways to beat them at other things, like if it's just being smarter or something like that, using IQ. So, yeah, just I would say little things like that, just finding tricks. That's the biggest thing he told me.
You go back to draft night. I mean, I can guess what it's like, but what was the moment like for you to be around friends and family, have your brother there, and to hear your name called and to go through that entire experience that brings you to this point today?
It was a lot of weight off my shoulder because a lot of people asked me, like, so when are you going to get picked and stuff? I feel like it was a lot of weight off my shoulder, and it was finally good to see, like, where I was going to go, because for months, you know, you don't know where you're going to go. So it was finally good to, you know, figure out where you're going and start to focus on, you know, your next task.
Did you have any sense of it when it was coming close, like 18, 19, and you get, like, were you given, like, the early nod?
Yeah, when it started at 18, when it went around 18, that's when my agent told me the teams liked me around 18. That's when I started to envision hearing my name. So, you know, when the Toronto Raptors said my name, I was like, I said it with them. So I was kind of shocked, like this really happening. But, you know, that was a great feeling.
How much have you had a chance to talk to the vets, DeLon? Think about Kyle, what he's been through. DeMar's been an all-star here. Both those guys, all-stars. I mean, some of the young vets around, a guy like Patrick Patterson, how much have you talked to them and tried to pick up any little thing you can even before we started training camp?
I wouldn't say too much. I talked to my brother a lot about it because the vets, they haven't been around us as much. But DeMar, he's talked to me. I would say out of everybody, DeMar talked to him the most. So I'm picking up some things from him and you know, other things I talked to my brother about.
So the youngster, right, very excited, understandably so, for his first training camp, with camp getting underway on Tuesday in Burnaby in Vancouver. Out in BC, the Raptors will have their first preseason game in Vancouver later on in the week as well. But we go from the youngster to the veteran as we now chat with one of the newest Raptors, free agent signing, Luis Scola. I was down in Mexico City and saw you firsthand personally and what you did individually, let alone as a country. And it's had to have been a thrill for you to kind of have that ultimate high and then be able to carry that through now into this regular season.
Yeah, it was very important for me. There was a lot of different things that make it more special than some other tournaments that I played in the past. First, you know, we went through a big process, the organization of the national team, the federation and all that. Everything was in very bad shape 2 years ago, and we were able to get involved, and we changed everything from scratch. The new people came in, and we got to start on a very bad situation, but things are getting better and slowly. So the fact that we had a chance to be in the Olympics gives us a huge push, and that was very important for us as a team, as a federation, as our organization. And also we were facing a lot of challenges. The basketball part of the team was facing a lot of challenges too. We are getting, the guys have been there forever. We're getting old, and there's some new guys. So we have a new generation coming, and you know, there's a lot of questions about, is this team is going to be good enough? Are we going to be able to keep up with what we've been doing in the past and all those things? So it was very important for us with this young group of people to get a chance to play Olympics and continue to build this new generation with him playing in the Olympic.
Why Toronto for you? I mean, you're a free agent, you're a veteran, experience that you could have brought to a lot of teams. How did it work out, and why Toronto?
Well, I think you know, when I started talking to Masai and to Coach Casey, I started putting everything on the table, and I got the feeling that they really wanted me here. That was the first important thing I felt wanted. And I felt they thought I could make the difference, I could help. You know, those were two things that I was really looking for, and I got that impression. I feel very strong about that now, and I'm very excited.
I'm going to jump back to Argentina for 1 second and tie it in with Toronto. I remember talking to Nocioni after the first game of the tournament when you guys beat Canada. And so many people were talking about Canada being this young team. They had a lot of talent. They were young and they hadn't experienced winning yet. And I'm paraphrasing, but Nocioni basically said, hey, they've got to experience it to experience it. You've got to go through some of the ups and downs. Is it similar with Toronto in a sense? They're not obviously as young as the Canadians, but you're a veteran guy coming in. You've experienced winning. You've been on winning teams and in winning organizations, but this is still a relatively young core who for 2 years now has been good but then hasn't been able to get through in the playoffs. And do you bring some of that in terms of teaching this team of what it takes to get to that next level?
Well, I'm not sure exactly how much I bring, you know, to a team, to a table, but I do believe that you got to go through it. You know, you got to go through it. It's very hard the first time. And I think that happened to Team Canada, and I think that might have happened here with the Raptors in the couple last seasons. I wasn't here, so I don't know for sure. But, you know, you got to go through it. You got to be through it. Once you lose, then now we're going to be more prepared. And the fact that the team lost last year in the first round, prepare them for this year's first round. So I think the team is in a better situation today than it was a year ago.
Luis, you've been around the world, played in all, you know, Olympics, been traveling for years playing basketball. You only would come into Toronto for a little bit of time here and there. Now you're here full time. What are your impressions of the city?
I think the city is amazing. It's a great city. You know, it's big, it's cosmopolitan, it's a lot of different cultures around. People is nice. You know, they have some challenge. Like most of big cities, traffic is challenging. You know, but I'm from Buenos Aires, so I know how to deal with traffic. And we all know the winter is challenging in this part of the world. You know, in the north. But I've been in Indiana before too, and that's tough winter, also. So I think the goods overcome the bads for a margin.
What about on the floor? The front court specifically, yourself, Patterson, Valanciunas, now Bismack coming in as well. What's your take on the front court rotation, the strength that you guys have, and how different it might look this year?
I think it's going to be important. You know, we had the chance to play a lot of players and play with a lot of intensity. I think those are going to be a big part of our success.
How do you help some of the young guys? You talked to Eric and I just a minute ago about going through it. You've been through a lot. I mean, just hearing you talk about what your national team and the organization is going through, and as a guy that's seen it, what will you say to some of these young guys? I mean, you got Anthony Bennett, a former number one pick that's on his third team right now. You've got, you know, young veterans, guys like Patrick Patterson. They haven't been through all of it, some of it, but not all of it. How do you think you can help them this year?
Well, hopefully, you know, if things go well for me and I'm able to work hard like I usually do all the time, and I'm able to help the team on the court, I can create, you know, positive veteran leadership and trying to lead by example and try to do the right thing all the time. And I believe if they get those good habits about working and about going about life in the NBA and how you got to take care of your body, how you got to eat, how you got to behave and rest and practice and lift weights and do treatment and all those little details, I can help them take a little step towards the next level and also help them extend their career and hopefully help the team create that winning mentality and winning atmosphere and culture that teams praise and all teams really want, like San Antonio has and like Boston had, Lakers had, you know, those championship teams had in the past, and, you know, those teams that don't have it spend so much energy looking for. So hopefully I can help a little bit on that and we can achieve that. If we do, with the talent that this group has and with the age that these kids has, you got a team for the next 5 to 6 years. So, you know, we are in a good situation. We just got to do it, which is the hard part.
Now, Scola, as we talked about in that interview, will be in the front court alongside the likes of Patrick Patterson and Jonas Valanciunas. In fact, there is still some discussion as camp opens about whether Scola maybe has a legit shot at perhaps being the starting power forward for the Raptors, or if that will ultimately go to a guy like Patrick Patterson. But you've got Bismack Biyombo as well. Now you've got Anthony Bennett in the mix. So the Raptors seem to be in decent position in that front court, but a lot of it will surround and rely heavily upon the status, the health, and the production of a man who's just signed a big-time contract, and that's one of the topics that we discussed with Toronto's starting center, Jonas Valanciunas. Jonas, fortunately or unfortunately, you've got some bragging rights in the locker room now, because I hate to scratch that wound again for some of the Canadians in Anthony Bennett and Corey Joseph, but I was down in Mexico City, and the Canadians, unfortunately, ran into some issues. But you got to be feeling pretty damn good about how things went for you in the summertime and the success with Lithuania, and how maybe the success personally for you on the floor rolls into the season, but then even looking forward to next summer as well.
You know, we are happy we made to Rio. So that was our goal, you know, to make Olympics. So we did it. We played as a team. You know, that was hell of a games, you know. That was good experience for me. And actually, that was good preparation for the season, because I came back from France fresh, you know, just finished the games, so I'm ready. I'm ready to go with the team, with the Raptors. So looking forward to join the team.
How much did the play with Lithuania this year and what you accomplished there, how much did it help kind of push back or rub out what happened at the end of last year to the Raptors?
You know, my mind is fresh right now. After those wins, you know, we lost the finals, but that was a tough game. I know, I understand. We could win the first place, but we're okay with the second, because, you know, things are good with us. So I'm coming to the season with a fresh mind. So that's most important thing. You know, I'm not thinking about the losses from last year, from the playoffs. So I'm thinking about the new year, new opportunities for us, and hope we're gonna succeed.
Fresh mind and a fat wallet as well, with a big time contract.
Yes,
and
that
has to ease the mind a little bit as well, I would assume, to know that there's not going to be chatter over the course of the season from probably media more than anybody else talking about contract extensions, where it stands. It's, you don't have to think about that. You've got the extension now, and clearly it's a sign that the organization believes in you, your skill set, and how important you are. So what do you then do now to reward the organization, to take your game to the next level?
You know, I'm going to do as I did before. I'm going to give my best on the court. You know, I'm going to give my best shot on the court. I'm going to do whatever they're going to tell me to do. You know, that's my job. I feel really good, because organization showed me that they're believing me. They have a trust in me. So I just want to say thank you. And now is the fun part, to go and beat some teams.
Jonas, how much confidence did you gain from the way you played for Lithuania that you bring back here? I mean, I sense at times last year you were a little upset. There was a little frustration that you knew you could do better, but you weren't either getting a chance to do it, or it just wasn't happening. How much confidence do you bring back with you after this summer to this year in the NBA?
You know, I have confidence in me. You know, I'm ready. I know what I need to do. I know we talked with coach. Coach having a different strategy or some different things, and I feel confident, and I just want to go out and show what I can do. You know, I worked out this summer a lot. You know, we went to LA. We worked out with Jack Sigma. That helped me a lot. So I think I'm better now.
What did you learn from that? Jack Sigma is one of the all-time great big men in the NBA, with, you know, the moves he had in the post and stuff. What did you learn there, Jonas?
You know, he's great on facing up and shooting, penetrating. You know, we worked out a lot on facing up the players and shooting, how to, on the footwork, how to control your footwork. So I'm excited to show that on the court now.
I'm going to take a picture of this. I'm going to have to block out certain things so that it's – so hold on. It doesn't play well for radio, so I'm going to take a picture of it afterwards. I'm going to tweet this out or something. But look at this, your pass card here. Just like anybody else at work, folks, Jonas has got a pass card. You know, get him swiped into the gym and the locker room downstairs. Look at that face.
That was 3 years ago.
Now, how much have you changed, not only physically, but just as a person? I mean, your transformation from this guy right here on this card to where you're at right now.
You know, I'm growing. I'm growing as a person, not just as a basketball player. You know, I'm growing as a person. You know, I'm settled down now. I have a family, so I'm growing on a court and off the court. You know,
did last year's experience too? And we won't get into all the details, but last year's experience off the floor and some of the issues that you ran into and stuff, did that kind of help you have that wake up call and grow as a person, as you talk about as well?
You know, all the mistakes you do helps you to be a better man, you know, to stand up and man up and be a better person, you know.
How much you talk with your teammate Jonas about last year? I've been asking guys this, you know, everybody I've asked this about last year, the way it ended. How much have you talked with your teammates about, hey, we need to fix this year, we need to do better? I mean, we were closer 2 years ago than we were last year. How much have you guys talked about that?
You know, we probably gonna do that because, you know, all the guys just came in. We had the first meeting with the coach and all the staff, so when the process gonna come kick in, we gonna slowly start talking about not repeating the same mistakes as we did last year.
And the man that handed out that contract to Valanciunas, a man who will be negotiating with DeMar DeRozan, no doubt, in the offseason, the man who put this all together with a lot of the new faces that were coming together, Corey Joseph, Damari Carey, Luis Scola, Anthony Bennett, Bismack Biyombo, all of the moves that were made in the offseason, and he's been very busy with a lot of his work with the Giants of Africa organization over in Africa as well over the course of this past summer. He is the president and general manager of the Toronto Raptors, Masai Ujiri. There's a lot of new faces that are expected to be key contributors, but at the same time, the core remains intact. How much does that help not only you in terms of team building, but Coach Casey in terms of having those familiar faces, but then being able to sprinkle in the new guys that hopefully are just additions to what he already has in place?
You know, it's good. We know that we lacked last year defensively, and we take in the front office, we take ownership a little bit for, I think, the kind of the team we put together didn't quite work out, you know, especially defensively. And so bringing in these new guys and then having kind of the core guys still stay the same, I think was some puzzle that we have to play. Now on paper, it looks like, you know, can it fit? How does it fit? You know, like, but at the end of the day, they have to go and play, you know, and you're absolutely right what you talk about. For me, that leads up to chemistry, right? You know, and how it all comes together and they playing together, because there's the core that will know everything that's going on, and but they're key guys, you know, Damari Carroll, you know, Corey Joseph coming off the bench, you know, like, or Biyombo. They have to figure out, you know, like how they fit in. Yeah, and that's what training camp is for, too.
Masai, you said when you made the trade with Sacramento that kind of started the resurrection and the change in the team, you said you got lucky. And you've changed some people here. I mean, the reaction 2 years ago was we need more offense, and you brought that in last year, and now you're back to the defense. How do you get pieces on paper, but how do you account for, or can you account for, the chemistry that might come with certain guys? Because it's, as you said, it's also personalities in the locker room, personalities on the court. And as a puzzle tries to be fit together, you get players that have certain abilities, but you also need certain personalities. How do you account for that when you're putting that team together?
I think you really have to do your homework, and our guys do a great job, player personnel guys, studying these guys, you know, like, and there's a lot of luck to it too. Guys have to come in here and try to fit with with all the players, but you try to study as much as you can and see what they bring to the table, you know, what these guys actually bring to help your team grow, to help your team culture, to help your team win, because at the end of the day the goal is to win.
Yes.
Yeah, so we have to all get on that same page, and we're hoping we do that in training camp where it all comes together. But having the guys like Patterson or Terrence Ross or JV, young guys like that that have been part of a program for 2-3 years, you have to build continuity, you know, and that's what, even though we changed a couple pieces, you know, we have to continue growing our own players and keeping that core so they know how to stick together, they know how to play together, and they know how to win.
How close is this team to where you want it to be? And I mean, on paper, obviously you want it to succeed, win a round, win a couple rounds, be a championship contender. But when you envision what you wanted to put together here, is it close to being what you want, or is there ways to go still? How do you kind of assess it?
There's a ways to go, I think. You know, like, we're still working on trying to figure it out. I'm happy with the core, happy with the guys we brought in, you know, like, really, really excited about the 11 to 15 guy. Mm-hmm. Yes, you know, like, when you talk about DeLon Wright, Norman Powell, Bruno, Anthony Bennett, and Bebe. Those five guys right there, if you look at them individually as young players on your team and maybe 11 to 15 guys, I think we can ask for anything better, you know, like with young players with at least, you know, talent that can play. And we're excited, you know, whether it's finding their way to play here or the D League, and growing them in the next year is going to be key for us. We have 4 first round picks in the next 2 years, you know, like, I think we have many, you know, like, little ways that we could make our team better if need arises, you know, like, from now till the end of the year. So next 2 years, we're not gonna have 4 young players unless something disastrous happens, you know, like, knock wood, not. But, I think there's good upside, you know, like, for us. Practice facility is coming, you know, like, we have a Raptors 905. We have a new scoreboard, you know, like, we're all-star game, you know, like, we're excited, you know, like, there's a good movement, a good feel. The fans have been unbelievable, so it's great to kick everything off to a good start in training camp.
Masai, you talked. I was going to ask you what excites you most, but you hit on so much of it. I want to zero in on one of those guys, 11 to 15, developmentally. I mean, Bruno is still very young, and he's coming. Anthony Bennett, though, was a number one pick, and he's looking at his third NBA team in 3 years in the league. What did you see in Anthony? Because it seems like he's been so beat up, traded, bought out, all of this. I know you value young players and their potential, but what did you see in Anthony to bring him to Toronto? I mean, he's got so much going for him here in terms of the support, his family, everything else. What did you see in him to bring him here, to make him part of this team?
You see, to me, I took that number one pick out, you know, like, was he drafted too high, maybe, you know, like, and you take that totally out of the picture, and you try to look at the person and the player, you know, like, and what we're trying to do here. He's got great size, he's taking care of his body now, we can put him in good structure, athletic. Shoots the ball okay. You can tell he'll get better. And he had a good summer. He progressed, from last year to this year. He made a good jump. A Canadian player, a minimum player, you know, like, and we've always liked him. Why not take a chance now? You know, like, yeah, it's on our part. It's a no-brainer. I don't look at it from our part, because we've had how many minimum players here? We can name them from 1 to 100 that are going to come and go. You know, like, that's just how it works with minimum players. You know, like, but we feel like this one deserves a chance, and we feel that AB has great upside, you know, like, and we got to put, you know, like, his last 2 stops behind him, gotta put that number one hat, you know, like behind him and say, hey, who is the basketball player? You know, like, who is the basketball player AB can be? You know, forget all of that. And here's a new home for you.
You're talking about a minimum guy. Let me ask you about not quite a maximum guy, but pretty damn close in a big time contract for Jonas Valanciunas and the commitment you showed for that. But then also some of the comments you made recently, I think we both probably understand and would agree not to negotiate perhaps with DeMar and leave it alone and not go through the circus of going through the media over the course of a season. Let it play out, and he's going to get a raise somehow, some way. But I think a lot has been made of your comments saying, well, we're not negotiating with them and we're leaving it alone. So why extend one guy, not another? I mean, if you can take us through the thought process of
well, I don't think a lot of people understand, you know, like, let me explain, and you guys maybe even explain it further with DeMar. DeMar can be extended, and then he can only be raised to a certain amount, you know, like, yep. And so it doesn't even, for me, it doesn't, we value the DeMar, you know, like, more. And I told DeMar, fine, if you want to come up and talk about an extension, we're 100% willing to do it. Yeah, it's better for me, you know, like, I'll do it right now, you know, like, but what I was trying to tell the guys on the radio is, I know, you know, like, it's not even like, it's almost disrespectful to go to him and, you know, like, and ask him, you know, like, to come do an extension, because we value him more. Yes. And DeMar is more than that type of a player. So there's no conversation, really, you know, like, until the end of the year when his contract is up and we can talk about a brand new contract, you know, like, for the future. So an extension gives him less years. An extension gives
him nice money.
Yeah. So I don't know why, you know, like, he. Yeah. So when we talked about it, we were all laughing, you know, like, but no, it's not me taking a stance and saying I'm not, you know, like, negotiating with DeMar, not at all. With Jonas, you know, we saw value in it. We saw a young guy that's getting better. And by the way, his contract does not start till next year, you know, yes. Like, and the cap is projected to be higher next year and even higher the following year. So we feel we got him, you know, like, with a pretty good deal for him and for us, you know. So I think it made sense with Jonas.
Well, it makes sense the way you answer it now as well for a lot of people that I think were confused by it before, because it's more probably DeMar saying, I don't want to sign that thing right now.
Yeah, so, yeah, I don't think I'll drag him to my office now and sign it quickly.
Masai, last year, you know, it ended the wrong way. A terrific start to the year, just couldn't maintain. And you looked at that and you guys have made those changes. What bit of advice would you give to the team, or what will the coaching staff talk about with the team? Because it was such a great start last year. That was almost too hard to maintain all the way through 82. But you want to have the same relative success, maybe in a different way. What do you talk about with the team this year and the guys, and what is the coaching staff, what message are they trying to get across? So it's not way uphill and then a sudden drop, more it's to kind of a steady build towards the playoffs.
Well, I always keep it very, very simple, Jonesy. What did you do well, and what didn't you do, not so well? You know, like, very, very simple. And go address the things that you didn't do so well. We didn't defend well, you know, like, last year, especially in the second half of the season. But overall, we fell. I think that's a huge component of a winning team in the NBA. You have to defend well. We have to look at the things that we didn't. I don't think we had great chemistry, you know, like, on offense sometimes, yes, we clicked, you know, like, and when we got it going, we have some great offensive guys. But, you know, what are the things that we didn't do so well? At the end, we stopped competing in some kind of way, you know, whether it was due to physical or due to, like, we can't even put a finger on it, you know, like, but we had to revisit that, and you can see so many of our guys in great shape now and ready to roll. So as the season progresses too, I think we'll be able to identify even more as we've put this team together, and then we'll go from there.
Last one for you. Moving aside from basketball for a second, I don't know how close you are with Alex Anthopoulos, and with due respect to your co-tenant in this building, the Maple Leafs, the Jays are obviously taking off, and you know, the postseason is right there. But can you relate to what Alex went through this year? did he even, have you guys even spoken at any point about what you went through a couple of years ago and the retransformation after a big trade and a team that catches fire, a team that really captures a city as well, and the similarities that seem to be there between the Raptors and now what the Blue Jays are experiencing, and the sort of revitalization of the fan base in the city through the We the North, and now almost rolling into what the Toronto Blue Jays are doing as well.
Yeah, I don't think there's any comparison, because that's from everything I understand about baseball. I hate to put pressure on them, but that's a World Series team right there. You know, like, the spectacular what's happening to those guys. You know, like, I don't think you can even compare. I need to take notes from that guy. You know, like, that's what I need to do. You know, like, that's, for me, it's phenomenal. You know, like, I started following it when I was in Africa in the summer, and it started like slowly, and it started building, and it's incredible. You know, like, now we actually look forward to see if they, I can't watch all of a baseball game, you know, like, but I tell you what, I follow it as much as anyone follows it as a fan, you know, like, and it's great. It's huge for the city. It's huge for us, you know, like, other team, their success. And by the way, those guys are the most classy guys in the world. When we were going through our success, I don't want to even call it success, but at least we had, you know, like, a good run that season, and they'd always send us great messages and send us, you know, good luck messages. It was unbelievable. Gave us a couple sweets, you know, like, last. It's incredible, you know, like, the respect that, and we offer the same, you know, like, with them. When I think of, you know, like, how people write, you know, like, they almost try to make it like a rivalry between, we don't play the same sport, you know, like, we don't. And by the way, all teams here have enough supporters, you know, and some, you know, like, I know we do. I know the Blue Jays do, you know, like, so it's not like we're fighting for supporters or anything. I think the Raptors are sold out, you know, like, so there's nothing else that could be greater, you know, like, I'm telling you, I worship what those guys have done. They've been unbelievable, and I'm telling you, I hope they win, you know, like, I spoke at the Rights to Play gala in the beginning of the summer, and I said, every single team in Toronto is going to win. I'm telling you, every single team will win. Every single one. The city just has it, the country has it, and the fans and the people have it. You know, like, it's gonna come. I don't know if it's during my time. I hope it is, you know, like, for basketball, but every team here will win. So it's unbelievable what they are doing.
And finally, we go from the GM to the coach, because as much as the GM puts the team together, Jonesy, it's all about how that team performs on the floor, and the man in charge of the X's and O's and pressing the right buttons and keeping the rotation set and keeping the players happy and ultimately getting the wins and hopefully translating that success in a regular season into the postseason. It's the head coach of the Toronto Raptors, Dwayne Casey. Coach, I guess we'll start where we've started with so many of the players over the course of today. Are you over Washington yet? The bad taste, is it, you know, or am I just scratching the wound right away with the very first question?
I don't think you ever get over it, Eric. We go on. Again, if I hadn't had the experience of going through it throughout my NBA career, went through it in Dallas, went through it in Seattle for numerous years before we got to the next step. And I've said this, the next step that we take as an organization is probably the most difficult step to take, is going from a good team to a great team. And we're on our way. We're making strides with additional different players. And, you know, Masai and his crew has done a great job of adding all-around basketball players, two-way players that are not just scorers, they're defenders also, and to get us to that next level. So, again, have I got over it? No. Will I forget it? No. But we got to go on. We got to use that as motivation to go into this season.
Interesting, because you kept talking about that last year, how you had a 60-win team in Dallas and bowed out in the first round, and how tough it is to take that step. And everybody has to do something to improve. It was defense a couple of years ago. I know you're going to bring that back this year. You talked about end-of-game stuff at the start of last year. What did Dwayne Casey do when he reflected back to say, you know what, I'm going to do this to help us next year?
Well, all around, one is the defense, Jonesy. We got to get back to our roots defensively. We're going to change some things up, the way we guard the pick and roll, the way we play a half-court defensive approach. That's number one. Personnel is huge. I mean, we've got guys now that can guard the big threes. You know, we got an extra rim protector now in Bismack Biyombo. So those things, along with how we made some subtle changes in our defensive approach, is going to be huge. Second, offensively, because your defense starts the way you play offense, whether you ISO team, quick shot team, to make sure we have floor balance getting back, because our transition defense took a hit last year. I think we went from 4th to 10th or something like that. So we've got to get back to our roots in, with our transition defense, and that starts with shot selection, ball movement, shot anticipation on the offensive end. That way we get our floor balanced and get back to get our defense set.
How much does it help you, Coach, that as much as you have fresh blood in, you know, you just mentioned Bismack and Damari, Corey Joseph, Anthony Bennett, Luis Scola, but yet the core guys, Damar, Kyle, Jonas, Terrence, Patrick, they're all back. So, I mean, the meat is still a common that has been together. I mean, how much does that help you?
It's huge. You look at all the successful programs around the league, whether San Antonio, not only they have continuity from the head coach, general manager down, they have the core group back. And the same with us. What helped us tremendously going into last season was the continuity, the carryover we had from last year. Now, we don't want to carry over the way we played in the playoffs, but what for the meat of our schedule last year, for the until the end of the year, what we did was from continuity, the carryover we had from the year previously, is going to be huge for us. And again, that's why we can't throw the baby out with the bathwater this year, but get back to our roots defensively is going to be job number one, and having our core back, guys understanding terminology, the guys that can make the subtle changes defensively that we're going to make will be good for them.
Coach, you turned over your staff, your helpings, your coaching staff this year, and some of it, I mean, Jesse Mermis has moved on to a new opportunity. I mean, it happens every year, things like that happen. What are you looking for from, and you know what it's like when you're an assistant. You make suggestions, you have a vote, but the head coach has the ultimate vote. What are you looking for from some of the new members of your staff to bring you, to point you in a direction, to have you look at things that maybe you didn't look at before?
Well, all of the above, Jonesy. I think it's very important. We've got a veteran staff coming with us. Rex Kalamian from OKC, Andy Greer from Chicago, huge additions. Jerry Stackhouse, more from a player standpoint. Right. New blood coming in as a coach, young energy. But the experience factor is going to be huge for where we need to go now. We still have the development phase going on in our program. That's where Jesse is going to do a great job with 905 and some of our young guys. But the experience factor in game situations, practice situations, our defensive approach, offensive approach is going to be very helpful for us coming from our new guys coming in.
Who do you still talk to on a coach level for your own sake to kind of help, you know, grow? I know you've talked in the past about Pete Carroll and visiting other camps and other sports and whatnot. I don't know if you have a relationship with John Gibbons or anybody in Toronto or otherwise. That'd be an interesting combination, I'm sure. But, you know, who do you kind of lean on to still kind of poke and prod you and challenge you?
I still talk to Rick Carlisle a lot. Yeah. George Carl, just spent time with him last week in Chicago. We took our coach, you mentioned you said, funny you say that, we had our coaching retreat. We went to the Seattle Seahawks training camp, went to their coaches' meetings, players' meetings, and just trying to, again, you may get one little nugget organizationally, how they handle groupings and motivational techniques, how they use film. A lot of little bit different things like that are huge when it comes to just getting something subtle from another staff, from other NBA coaches. They're going to lie to you. They, you know, left, right, or up and down. So they're not going to tell you the truth totally. And the only reason why I know Rick, because I was with Rick, so I know if he's telling me the truth or not. But still can stay in contact, but always stealing. I've probably stolen more from college coaches as much or more than I have other NBA coaches, because, like I said, they're not going to totally tell you the truth. And they shouldn't, you know, they're not going to tell you their secrets. But I love talking to college coaches, good high school coaches, different to get different drills, different fundamentals, different understandings, how to do things to be better. And you always try to do that every summer, try to go out and come back with some information or technique that's better.
Coach, I know you're big on communication and in the offseason not losing touch of your players. James Johnson said, you know, you worked him out a few times. I know you're always talking. What do you sense from your, go back to what you said about your core group and taking the next step after talking to guys like Kyle, DeMar, Jonas, the Terrence, the core group, the guys that have been through it, that have experienced it, Patrick, like what sense do you get from them after talking to them as they head into this year?
I sense a different edge. I thought last year, like, I think 99% of the people in the city thought that, you know, coming in last year, we're just going to walk right through and just go right to the next round and good conference championship. I thought we had an air of entitlement as a city, as an organization, from our staff, all of us felt we was happy on the farm. And, I was the crazy one all the whole year preaching patience and saying, hey, no, we're not there yet, da-da-da. So I feel like now they understand. They understand how hungry you got to be, how hard you got to work, how hard it is to get to that next level. And probably the biggest curse we had was getting off to a great start and, didn't keep our nose to the grind and kind of, let the league catch us and pass us by as the year went on. So we got to do a better job of making sure we stay hungry. We got to be the hardest working team in the league throughout the season, not only the first part of the season, but pace it where we're that team at the end of the season. Because, again, we have an excellent group of guys. This is one of the best groups I've had since I've been here in Toronto as far as pieces are concerned. We don't have this, the Michael Jordans. We don't have that on our team. But what we do have is a collective group of good, high-character guys that we're ready to go to war with. But we still have to be the dirtiest, honoriest team to go out and play that way each and every night. We're not going to come out and out finesse anybody, out, pretty anybody. We got to be a dirty, ornery, gritty basketball team to win in this league.
That was the head coach of the Toronto Raptors, Dwayne Casey, and it brings to end another very busy podcast for us. Two full versions of the Hoops podcast. The Hoops show itself will return at the end of the baseball season, the baseball playoff season, of course, with the Toronto Blue Jays in the playoffs. We might be pushed back a little bit further this year in terms of our start date for the Hoop Show, but you can always check out sportsnet.ca and Sportsnet 590 The Fan for more Hoops coverage, and we'll try and bring as many podcasts and as much content to you as possible. But two full shows, both nearly 50 minutes long, so we're talking about nearly 2 hours of coverage right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet.ca. You heard from one-on-one, technically two-on-one, Jonesy and I chatting with Anthony Bennett, Damari Carroll, Dwayne Casey, DeMar DeRozan, James Johnson, Corey Joseph, Kyle Lowry, Masai Ujiri, Patrick Patterson, Terrence Ross, Luis Scola, Jonas Valanciunas, and DeLon Wright. For Paul Jones, I'm Eric Smith. Again, it's been Hoops on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet.ca.